that the pangs of death surrounded me, and the floods of ungodliness made me afraid. The sorrows of Sheol surrounded me, and the snares of death confronted me. This is Psalm 18, verses 4 to 13. And in my distress I called upon the Lord and cried out to my God. He heard my voice from his temple, and my cry came before him, even to his ears. He also brought me out into a broad place, and he delivered me because he delighted in me. So in the grave, he was confronted by our sin. He experienced the death and destruction and the punishment that God gave that sin. So he became sick with every sickness that we all experienced, with every grief, with every fear, with every loss of hope. He felt it all in the grave. But he confronted it. He stared it head on. And he said, "No, you will not defeat me. My cry is to my Father. I believe what he said, that I will be seated by his right hand." And he hung on to that hope. And what the Father heard was his faith in his promise, his faith in his character, his faith in his love for him. And then he began to see what it would be for us, the result of his death. And then, because of that, by his faith, he overcame every single sin, sickness, disease, everything. He overcame it all in the grave. And the Father called him out of the grave. We call that the resurrection. And in that moment that he was rising from the dead, he also spoke to those who were dead. And he told them the victory that he has now accomplished. Some of them came with him. Some of them believed. There were many that didn't. Up from the grave he arose. And this is what he accomplished in that. Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that were against us, which was contrary to us, he has taken it out of the way. Having nailed it to the cross, having disarmed principalities and powers, everything that had some type of authority over us, sin, every demon, the devil himself, everything that was against us, it was gone. He overcame it all. And he became the one who had all authority, the prime one born from the dead. He was the firstborn of the new creation. Try to wrap your head around this one, but I can't. And he disarmed the principalities and the powers and all of these things, sin, everything. And he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Now get a picture of this one, because this is a military term. This is what happens when a king overcomes another king. And he takes them and he begins to show everyone that is in his realm the defeated foe who has no power, no authority, nothing. And he drags him through the streets of his people and shows them, see, you have nothing to fear. He is defeated. Sin is defeated. Sickness is defeated. Lack is defeated. Everything that is against us is defeated. And he is always for us. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works, from lack, all these things that we feel? He's cleansed us from them to serve the living God. And for this reason, he is the mediator of the new covenant. That's why he rose again, to make sure the covenant is fulfilled in every detail. For the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, which was under the law, that those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. See, when Jesus rose from the dead, he received from the Father the inheritance. All the promises that God has made. Yes and amen. Right? He received them, and we get to share that inheritance with him. That's why he did it, was to make this inheritance available to all of us. Hebrews also goes to say, and every priest standing ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices under the first covenant, which never took away sins. They had a reprieve for a year. And then they had to sacrifice again to have a reprieve for a year. Can you imagine if this had to be the way it was forever? Right? But what Jesus did was, this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God, and from that time, waiting till his enemies are made his footstool, for by one offering he has perfected forever all those who are being sanctified. Once, that's all it took for him. And it was done. But the Holy Spirit also witnesses to us, so that after he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord, I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds I will write them. Because the law is not done away with, but how we relate to it is totally changed. Because the old covenant, they related to it. God didn't intend that for them, but they did. They related to it as what they had to do to get God to like them. Jesus did it all and says, I did this because I do love you. I have always loved you. I have always liked you. I have always called you my friends from the beginning. And then he adds, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. He will never consider them when he is with us. Yes. Now Where there is remission of these, there is no more sacrifice necessary. It is all completed, paid in full, and inheritance received. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest, we're talking about the Holy of Holies. Nobody's been in there. And even in the heavens, where the real temple is, where God sits, Jesus now sits on the mercy seat. And we have whole, complete, forever access to the Holy of Holies. Because in the old covenant, they never could go in. Only the priest could go in after careful preparation once a year to make the atoning sacrifice that would give them a year of reprieve. And even when he went into there, that priest, there was risk that he made a mistake in his preparations. So they had a rope tied around his foot, and they had bells on the hem of his garment, right? And they were listening on the outside of that curtain, right? Either a thud on the ground with the bells ringing, or no sound whatsoever. And they would wait, and eventually had to pull him out. It was a very defective thing that was there, but it was what God had was able to provide to give them reprieve year after year until the Messiah came to do the one sacrifice, the one for all. And we now have access to that. We can speak to God directly. We don't need a Moses to go through. We don't need a prophet. We don't need our pastor to be the one who speaks to God for us. You have direct access to the Father through Jesus. Matter of fact, he made this so certain that he sealed each of us who have called out to him. He has sealed us by his own Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And he dwells within us with the fullness of God in our spirit. We lack nothing. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we. Everybody knows this here. Great. In this world, right now, that is a present tense statement. It wasn't a statement with future tense, waiting for the day that we cross over. He said, as he is now, seated at the right hand of the Father, ever interceding for us, so are we in this life now. We are as he is. That doesn't mean we're gods. Never going to say that. We are like him because we are in his image. So when I make a mistake, right? Or I give in to a sin, or I woe and bemoan my life, I'm sinning, right? Because I'm not in harmony with who God said I am, right? But we have the intercessor, right? Now, that's not him pleading with God. It's just him being there as a reminder of what he has done, right? God will never forget this. That's not the worry, right? But he is ever saying, this is what has been done, right? so that we can go to the mercy seat because we have complete access. We don't need to be afraid, right? He says, don't be afraid. And we can come to that mercy seat with boldness because we know who we are and what he has done for us. Right? And we can go there for mercy because God is always merciful. And then we also receive grace. Grace isn't just him going, it's okay. Grace is the power that works inside us, enabling us to walk away from that because it has no power over me, and walk into his gift to us, right? Who we are in him. So, I'm going to wrap this up. Because we have this world that we're in, because we still see all the sin that goes on, and sometimes it calls to us because of whatever we're experiencing, because we forget. We forget our identity from time to time. And we don't have to, but we do. It's okay. It happens. And God made provision for that. But he taught us how we can walk away from that so that it doesn't overwhelm us and lock us into death. Okay? Because we have been raised from the dead. Right? See, we have this great high priest, Hebrews tells us, who's passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast to our confession. What does that mean, our confession? Our confession is when we choose to say the same thing that he says over us. So what he has done for us has raised us from the dead, put his righteousness in us. He wrote his laws in our heart. And when our heart is bruised, we can go to him. And we can agree with him that, no, I know I feel this. It calls to me. I want to be, to give into this. But I don't have to, because I can choose. And when I do that, I open myself up to his grace to give us the power to walk in him, right? So hold fast to our confession. So our confession should be something that we do daily to remind us, until we get to the place in our hearts where we're so convinced of who we are, because we see him, we see us. We become so convinced that that no longer has any effect on us anymore. What our heart is persuaded of controls our choices. Okay? What our heart is persuaded of controls our choices, right? Because everything that God wants how our life to flow is fruit. He wants it to be the fruit of our heart, what our heart has become totally convinced of will allow that fruit to come forth in our lives. In the old covenant, they strived to be righteous and then present that to God. See, here is my righteousness. And of course, it is nothing but dirt. Right? Because they didn't change themselves. In their heart, they still had the same conscience. It did not last. For us, because He is in us and His grace is in us, we have the power to walk away. But our heart needs to be convinced that it is true. So Jesus taught us how to do that. So part of what we were doing this morning, trying to picture what He was doing, was to persuade our hearts that this is done. It's a done deal. My old person, all those things that I've, thought was the right way to live and do and be and feel, is in a grave, covered over. And if you're not sure, put some more dirt on it. Right? Because it's in the grave. Your old self is dead and gone. Your new self is alive. And in you, in your spirit, you are perfect. You are whole. You are filled with shalom. And shalom is more than just having a nice, calm feeling. It is you are set. You have all that you need. And you feel no lack. And therefore you're at peace. That's what He said. My peace I give you. Hold on to it. Grab a hold of it and keep it close. My peace. So this is what we need to accept and persuade ourselves, because God does not make us believe. He offers. He sets a table and is filled with all the good things and is sitting in front of you all the time. The kingdom of God is in you. And it's swirling around us in spirit. And we can partake of it anytime. The key is our heart. Are we persuaded? Do we believe His report? And I know when we're in times of anguish and things are happening, it's hard. But while we're not, here is a good time to persuade, continually persuade. Like, check yourself. I am the righteousness of God. What are the first thoughts that come to your mind when you sit down and think about it? And if it isn't, yes, amen, I am, I feel it. It is who I am. I'm convinced. Or if other doubts come in, well, look what I just did yesterday, just a minute ago. That isn't righteous. Right? So these are the things to that He is asking us to embrace, the gifts that He's given us. First of all, sin has no dominion over you. And if you want to check that statement out, Romans 6:12 tells you that. And I forgot the whole time to do my slides. Somebody's doing it for me. Thank you. I'm really into this now. Okay. The second thing is you have been made the righteousness of God. That's 2 Corinthians 5:21. Third thing, You choose to put off the old man. These memories of what I was like is in the grave, dead. You choose to put it off. When it comes, those memories come back. They come out of our cells and everything. Our whole body is stored with all this stuff. We feel it at times. That's, our bodies will create those feelings. When it comes, we get to choose whether I accept that as me or I put it off. And then the third or the fourth thing here is you renew your mind by aligning your thoughts, your opinions, and your beliefs about your identity in Christ with His Word. That's why He gave us His Word, was to remind us. It's the rocks that we've laid out at the site that remind us continually who we are now. We are like Him. Colossians 3:10 is where that comes from. And then the last thing is put on the new man by choosing it. You have the power to choose. You have the authority as to what works in your life and doesn't work in your life. You have the authority because He's provided everything. Peter tells us everything, all the promises are what we believe for. And another verse, I don't know who said that one right now, said all the promises of God that have ever been made from Adam in the garden to the day that it will end, every promise is yes and amen in Jesus. Yeah, you bet. So here's His warning to us. Be careful what you're hearing. Be careful what you give your ear to, what you give your thoughts to. The measure of thought and study that you give to this truth that you hear will be the measure of virtue and knowledge that comes back to you. And more besides will be given to you who hear. So this is what He taught. We are the masters of our heart. He has given us the power. It's called grace. We activate that by our faith in who He says we are. Our faith in who He says we've become because of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. And when we're having struggles, we can go back to that burial site. Yes, there it is. It's dead. And you can see, you can spend a bit of time with Christ and think about what He did. Every link of chain that was on Him was something that we put there. Right? And it broke. Became powerless. So when you face situations, here, ask yourself these questions. Do I believe that Jesus died the death where He took my punishment, took the curse? Do I believe that? And if you say, can say yes to that, but the battery died. When Jesus rose from the grave with the grace of God working in Him, the glory of God working in Him, did He overcome this sin or sickness or problem or fear in my life? whatever the situation is that you're facing. And if you can say yes to that, for this need in my life, do I believe that Jesus obtained the inheritance? Was this part of that inheritance? We got to keep remembering these things. And then finally, the only other question I need to ask myself is, do I believe that I am in him and that I share in this inheritance? Do I choose it? Somewhere in that process that we keep going through this process, somewhere in that process we start, our heart becomes convinced. It becomes more and more believable until we're not shaken. We're solid on the rock. My goal is this, when I'm working, you know, spending time with him, is I want my heart to get to the place where I experience, where I can't separate his resurrection from my resurrection. Where I can't separate his victory over the devil from my victory over the devil. I can't separate his inheritance from my inheritance. I can't separate who Jesus is from who I am. We're on a journey. We're in a process of bringing into our hearts beliefs and experience. Sorry. I let wave. Our heart's experience made in the image of Christ, right? That is the goal. That's always been the goal. All right? So, anyway, I hope this helps. But when you're spending time with him, walk with him. Talk with him. Experience his words. Experience his kindness. Experience who he is so that you can know who you are. Amen? Amen. All right.